If you've got your Bibles this morning, turn back, if you will, to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. We was just there in our Sunday school lesson this morning. So Daniel, chapter 3. And I'll tell you what, it was kind of hard for me to keep quiet in Sunday school. But Daniel, chapter 3, I'm going to read two verses here, verse 28 and verse 29. Daniel, chapter 3, verse 28. It said, and then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. In verse 29. And therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. If you'll trust me this morning, you can go back and read the account. I know it's a familiar story, but trust me to kind of bring you up to speed on what has taken place up to this point. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wasn't always known by that name. You see that they had been taken into captivity by the Babylonians. They come in, they besieged the city, they surrounded it, they cut it off from all outside resources. And when you cut a place off, that place will suffer. They begin to have a famine. There was lack of water, there was lack of food, lack of resources. They finally was able to besiege the city. They took and they burned down the temple. They took into captivity the young people. Daniel was a little bit older, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was no more than the most Bible scholars, no more than just probably teenagers. Young people that they could bring in and they could reprogram, if you will, and train them and have them be servants in a foreign country. It wasn't just enough to burn down their city and burn down their place of worship. But the older people, most likely their parents, they killed them. You know, they say it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. Let's just do away with them and we'll keep the children. They're still useful. We can make servants out of them. Well, who was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They was just young people. They wasn't warriors. The Bible tells us, and I believe it's in chapter 1, that they was wise and was used for counsel. I'll tell you what, when you become a Christian and you become get a relationship with God, God will show you things in a godly sense that will make you wise as far as the world goes. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was not always Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach was known by his Hebrew name as Hananiah. His name means that God has given favor. Meshach was known as Mishael. It means is like God. Abednego means was Azariah, was his Hebrew name. God has helped me. I want you to think about their very names that they had. God has given favor. is like God, and God has helped me. Here they are in Babylonian captivity, and it looks like, I'll tell you what, if you've ever had somebody that you've been around that has been traumatized, you better listen. I'm not talking about dramatized. There's a difference between traumatized and dramatized. These young men had been traumatized. They had seen everything that they had been accustomed to annihilated. Their very identity was changed. You know, the devil would like to take and change your name and steal your identity of who you are, but you are who you are by the grace of God. The devil cannot take that away. They have not even had time to get over all the traumatization that they went through. And then the test comes. One event after another. Has anybody ever felt like that when it rains, it pours, and it just seems like it's one thing after another thing after another thing? And Lord, how much can I take? The king had a dream. He called all the wise men and astrologers in and said, I want you to interpret my dream. The problem is the king couldn't remember his dream. I want you to think about this. When you go to bed tonight, you get up in the morning, why don't you look over at the wife and tell her what she dreamed? Wives, tell your husbands what he dreamed. Elizabeth, it may be a little easier for you. It probably has something to do with hunting or fishing. I told you that to tell you, he's asking for next to the impossible. The decree had already went out to kill all of the astrologers, all the council, wise council, ever. Daniel said, hold on a minute. He went to the king and said, give me just a little bit more time. He got a hold of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said, boys, I need you to pray. I want you to think about this. God answered Daniel's prayer. God revealed the prayer to Daniel. He revealed the dream to Daniel. Daniel goes in and tells the king what he dreamed, told him the interpretation thereof. And all of the scholars that the king was getting ready to, the decree had already went out to kill them. Their lives were spared. By the way, I believe that's the same scholars that cooked up the deal to have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown in the fiery furnace. The devil is not your friend. But here's the question I've got. Why did God not answer when Jerusalem was under siege? Why didn't he answer when the temple was being burned, their place of worship? Why did he not answer when their parents was being slaughtered? Got your attention now, don't I? In the moment, we don't always see what God's doing. We see the trauma. We see the test. And then we see the threat. There's a 90-foot tall golden image. You know the story, when the music plays, they're to bow down, to worship. Lord, we've been traumatized. We've been through the test, and now we're being threatened. When's it going to stop? I know that God is that I serve is able to deliver. But He hasn't delivered them yet. When the city was under siege and that was being carried away into captivity and from the trauma to the test, and yet He has to deliver us from the threat. He hasn't delivered us yet from the threat. What gave them the idea that God would deliver them now? You say, wait a minute. God answered the threat of the dream. He answered Daniel. But I don't read anywhere in my Bible that He gave the interpretation or the dream to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't see yet where He's answered a prayer for them yet, where He's come through. When you're God's child, you're a Christian, there's something on the inside of you that says, maybe this is the day that God's going to deliver. I have faith that He has all power in heaven and in earth. I have faith that He can do all things. Maybe this is the day. He had them cast into the fire. They've been traumatized, tested, threatened. And if that's not enough, they're bound before they throw them in. You realize that Satan's still up to the same tricks? He'll bind you when it seems like that you've been traumatized, you've been through the test, you've been threatened, you've been through the mill. He'll bind you hand and feet to keep you from praising and worshiping God. Maybe He had them bound just so that they would maybe go ahead and apologize and just go ahead and say, "Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, you're greatly to be praised." I don't know what was going through His mind, but let me remind you, these are not warriors. These are scholars. These are counselors. These are wise men. They're not men of war. They're not men of battle. But King Nebuchadnezzar has the mighty men, warriors, to bind these little teenagers to throw them in the fire. Heat that thing up 7 times hotter. Got it hot enough to when the guards that went to throw them in, the mighty men of war went to throw them in. It killed them. Listen to me. The things that will kill others won't affect you. You say, what was the difference? The God that they served. Boy, I'm feeling this morning. It destroyed the enemy. You had a bondage that destroyed everyone else. I'm preaching this morning to some survivors. God has brought you through. There have been things in people's life that has killed other people. Some of you have battled cancer and beat it. It has taken the same cancer has killed others, but you survived it. Some of you have been through bondage alcoholism and drugs and various things and all kinds of physical abuse. It has killed and destroyed others, but you survived it. The king comes and looks into the fire. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Did we not cast three in? But I see the fourth in there, and the fourth looks as if like the Son of God. I think that God probably spoke to Nebuchadnezzar's heart and said, the mistake you made is you made the furnace too big. There was room for a fourth man in there. And the fourth man, they're walking around. God could have easily have said, you know what? Before they even go in there, I'm going to put the fire out. But he didn't. They were free in the fire. Why he chose for them to go through it, I'll never know. But I do know this. The test is not for God. The test is for you. God already knows how strong you are. He knows the outcome. He's omnipotent. He knows what's going to take place. He knows if you're going to pass or if you're going to fail it. But the test you're going through is for your benefit. You ever wonder why some people act like they act? I'm reminded of the woman with the alabaster box. You don't know the price they paid and the fire that they've been through. They was in the fire with the fourth man, and you can't tell me that they wasn't praising and they wasn't worshiping in the fire. There wasn't even a smell of smoke on them. The only thing that got burned was the bands that had them bound. They was praising. I'll tell you what, this old world is getting wicked. It's not even safe. I can remember whenever we finally had to break down and put a lock on the church house door. Some of y'all remember that. The churches never did lock their doors. We had instruments, we had songbooks, Bibles. We never, Brother Virgil, locked the door. And I can remember whenever Dad finally had to break down and put a lock on the church house door. I thought, what is this world coming to? If we could just see it now. The world's getting wicked. I've got two or three things I want to leave you with this morning. Seemed like the Lord touched my heart with this. You know what the devil fears more than anything? What hell fears? It fears people that still praise him. When we still praise him, when we don't get what we want. He didn't answer when Jerusalem was under siege. He didn't answer when they was given the test of the dream. Now, he answered Daniel, but he didn't answer Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He didn't answer when the threat came. You got to bow down or we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. But they never failed to quit praising. Second thing that I want to bring to you is we need to praise God for who He is and for not for what He has done. Oh, He's been good. Don't get me wrong. But praise Him not just for the happenings. He's still God in the good times. He's God in the bad times. He's God when I'm sick and He's God when I'm well. He's God when it rains and He's God in the drought. He's God in the flood. He's God in the sunshine and in the dark. He's God in the time of plenty and He's God, and beside Him there is none other. I am unworthy, but He is worthy to be praised. The only reason that you're a survivor this morning. Do I have any survivors in the house? Has anybody been through anything besides me? The only reason I have any survivors in the house is because He was in the fire with you. I would like to get up here and preach prosperity messages and you know, everything is going to be happy and wonderful for the rest of your life and you're not going to have any problems. But the fact of the matter is you're going to go through a test and you're going to go through a trial. Just as sure as the sun goes down this evening and rises in the east in the morning, you will have ups and you will have downs. You'll have valley top and mountaintop experiences. It will happen. If you're going through the fire and you're not right with God, and not right with the Lord, I would not want to face tomorrow without Him. Well, preachers, He answered every prayer. Not the way I've wanted. I'll be honest with you. But I'm still going to praise Him. And my God is able to deliver me out of the fire. But if He don't, I'm still going to praise Him. I'm reminded of Job. He said, "Yea, though God slay me, yet will I trust Him." Think about all the trials and the things that Job went through, and God never answered a prayer. But Job never failed to give God praise for who God was. If you're in the fire right now, I feel like telling you this. It's not a question if you love God. But you need help right now. If you're going through the fire, and I think you know what I'm talking about, a trial, a test, you need God to answer. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Keep praising. My God is able. Come back to the music, if you will. I preached long enough. Maybe there's someone here this morning that's, I don't know, maybe someone's feel like they're battling. I felt led to go this direction today. I don't have to know what your situation is. That's between you and the Lord. I want to encourage you. I can't get past this. You, Hold on. Don't give up. Keep praying. Don't give in. But preacher, I prayed. It seems like my prayers are going nowhere. How do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego felt? Lord, we prayed while the city was under siege. We prayed while the temple, our place of worship, was being burned down. When our parents was being slaughtered in the streets, we was being taken into captivity. Why didn't you answer then? Then the test came after the traumatization. Don't give up. I never read where they quit praying or they quit praising.